You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We all know how important it is to keep your eye on the money, and not just your own. Stay on top of the latest financial and market news with Yahoo Finance, a podcast that releases new episodes almost every day. You'll hear a brief overview of the biggest news in the financial world, all in 3 minutes or less, right after markets close. Check out Yahoo Finance wherever you get your podcasts. That's Yahoo Finance wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Kick-Ass News. I'm Ben Mathis. After a wild one-night stand, Derek, a successful sports agent, watches his perfect life slowly disappear when he discovers that the sexy and mysterious woman he risked everything for is a determined police detective who entangles him in her latest investigation. As he tries desperately to put the pieces together, he falls deeper into her trap, risking his family, career, and even his life. That's the plot of a new film called Fatale, a suspenseful and provocative psychological thriller and an unpredictable game of cat and mouse where one mistake can change your life. The film, which stars Hilary Swank as a classic femme fatale, opens in theaters Friday, December 18th. And today I'm happy to welcome Hilary Swank and the film's director, Dion Taylor, to the show to talk about our collective love of film noir from Hitchcock to De Palma, what drew Hilary to finally play an antagonist on screen, and how she found a way into that character that strikes right at the heart of our worst fears and most basic instincts. Plus, we talk about expanding the range of female villains beyond shallow psycho woman roles and the social responsibility of depicting police violence against a black man in the wake of the Black Lives Matter movement. Coming up with Hilary Swank and Dion Taylor in just a moment. Two-time Oscar winner Hilary Swank stars along with Michael Ealy in the modern-day noir thriller Fatale, which opens in theaters nationwide on December 18th. And today I'm joined by Hilary and the film's director, Dion Taylor. Guys, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for welcoming us.
Yeah. Now, I got to warn you, we might have a special guest here because somehow a cricket has invaded my home studio here. So,
COVID I love that. Usually I have a parrot. That's making sounds and saying hi. Yeah. They put me in a hotel because they were like, we can't have that. They'll have the interruption of my green shake.
Oh, wow. Very nice. Very nice. I wish I had, I just have a bottle of water here.
That doesn't make my teeth look nice, Ben.
Yeah. Wow. This makes for a great interview. How much time can we spend on our beverages? Let's just find out. Well, guys, I enjoyed the movie. You know, how nice it was to be able to escape into a good thriller these days. Very compelling, edge of your seat stuff. Dion, you want to set this up for us? Tell the folks what this movie is about.
The movie is about...
Don't mess up.
I will not mess up. The movie's about a young businessman who goes to Vegas to let off some steam, have a good time. What happens in Vegas doesn't always stay in Vegas. What he finds out is that Vegas comes home with him. And that's when the movie starts. That's what the movie's about. But no, it's a much deeper dive. It's such a great film. It's a thriller. It's in the vein of the classic 90s films that we love, Body Heat, Fatal Attraction, Basic Instinct, except this one is a little bit different because we got the beast, Hilary Swank, in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
And she absolutely kills this thing, man. I've been up for 21 hours And I'm still going, Hillary's fight, Hillary. And she kills it, man. I'm so excited about this film.
By the way, this is this guy, this is how he is all the time. Like he said 20 he's hours later, he's not lying. We did a whole round of press yesterday and he flew all night, went to a premiere and is now up doing all these interviews. Wow. No joke. And on set, we'd be 19 wow. hour days and he'd be like, let's go. Woo, let's go. Wow.
I want to know what he's drinking now.
He's infectious. He's just, you know what? He's drinking like the light. He yeah. is
right.
light incarnate is what he is.
Give me some more of that light.
Now, Hillary, what attracted you to this film?
Well, Dion, you know, he, I saw The Intruder kind of right at the same time that he asked to meet with me. And I just thought, you know what? I don't know. I mean, you've seen a lot of movies too. I've been in a lot of movies. I've seen a lot of movies. And to see someone capture suspense like that mm-hmm. is like capturing magic in a bottle. It's really yeah. hard to do. I thought this guy is really talented and this yeah. movie is going to need that. And then he pitched the story and he said to me, why haven't you done something like this before? You know, I don't get it. And I was like, I don't know. I don't get it either. And the truth is that you just don't find these roles very often. You don't find this type of film very often with this type of role in it. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to find a really like multifaceted character who's flawed, who's trying to figure it out, wants a second chance, spirals out, and a whodunit. Like you're one moment you're empathizing with her and then you hate her. But then you go from hating her to empathizing with her again because you're like, oh, I kind of get why she's doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, there's really no comparison of this film to anything else I've seen, is certainly in the last decade. And for all of those reasons, I wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah, I'm so used to seeing you playing these, you know, heroic, inspiring roles. Was it fun to play a character with a dark side? Is this the first yeah. time that you've played a quote unquote bad guy or whatever you want to call her?
Yeah, you know what? I actually had said to my team, I was like, you know, we have to find a role that is a great kind of villain. And it has to be the right one because no one's going to expect it, right? Mm-hmm. But I really empathize with this woman because I feel like, you know, we all make mistakes. Some are graver than others, in her instance, especially. But she tries to rectify it. And she, and you know, I love that all these characters are flawed. Everyone in this movie has made a mistake and they're all like just trying to figure it out. And so it's just not black and white. And I like that.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, as much as we root for Derek, who is played by Michael Ealy, who's, let's call him the protagonist, I guess, of the film. But, you know, there really are no heroes in this movie. There's no proverbial man in the white hat. Every character breaks or bends the rules. Every character skirts some serious gray areas. Is it fair to say, Dion, that no one in this film is totally clean?
No, and that's exactly right, because no one is clean in life. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, man, when I think about these movies, I was doing a few interviews earlier today, and it's taken some people a long time to understand what a Dion Taylor film is.
But they know now.
This is my style. I love people that have flaws. I love people that have character traits. I love people that, you know, are teetering the line of good and bad, because mm-hmm. that's really what we all are. You yeah. know what I mean? And this style of film, you know, as much credit as I give Hillary, she is a driving force, and so is Ely. Like this is their car, and they're mm-hmm. driving it. And it's kind of like, you put two people on the surface and you're like, all right, let's see what makes them tick. Let's see what makes them, you know, feel angry or feel happy. And what I think we've done differently in this movie is, normally in this kind of rotation of these types of films, the person is always crazy. You know right. what I mean? Like, I just did one of those. Dennis Quaid was just crazy. You know what I mean? And those are fun. But Hillary Swank is not crazy. Something happened to her. You know what I mean? And it's like, this is what happened to her, and this is what's making her crazy. And I think that little layer right there alone is what makes the movie really pulsating. Because now you're like, all right, well, she's not just nuts. It's something she's actually fighting for. And no, she's not doing it the right way, but 50% of the people don't do it the right way. You know what I mean? So it's like, whoa, this is crazy.
Hillary, you play kind of a dark, messed up person, but she has a very relatable and instinctual mm-hmm. motive that drives her to do what she does. And Hillary, I understand from the notes here that you were instrumental in developing that more human side of her and that yes. motivation. Is that right?
Yes, she was.
Yeah, you know, and that's what's so great about Dion is he's an incredible collaborator and Roxanne. He puts a team around him that he believes in, and then he says, let's figure this out. And we were in a position with this movie where Dante Spinotti, the cinematographer, only had a small window. And so we had about 6 weeks to get the script right, to find the locations, to get it cast. And that is like, that in itself with a teeny tiny budget is a big feat. So we were just working like burning the midnight oil to get all the characters fleshed out and to find this. And thankfully Dion was like really, we were just like hitting it back and forth all the time, whether it was like, you know, in person, but we didn't live, you know, I live in LA and he's up in Sacramento. So we were just constantly sending emails back and forth with like scenes and stuff. And it was great. It's just like to be able to develop a character with someone who has such insight and was extraordinary.
Yeah. Now, am I giving away too much if I tell folks what that motivation is? You guys
tell me. I think it's okay, don't you, Dion?
I'm thinking, ask that cricket.
That's that cricket. That cricket is silent right now, thankfully. So Hillary, maybe I should ask you to do it. I'm sure you can say it better than I can.
Sure. We have a woman who, you know, it's what's great too is that this is told in like these flashbacks. So you get like snippets of like what her motivation is. Dion did that really well. It's not linear, and it's it really like helps unfold the story well. But essentially, it's a woman who makes a grave mistake, and she does it. Because, you know, she's an alcoholic and she decides to right this wrong. She tries to rectify it. She becomes sober. She wants to get her daughter back. She made a mistake regarding her daughter. And she works really hard and she wants a second chance. And then what's promised her isn't given to her. And she just completely unravels and makes decisions based on that, just trying to claw her way back to this thing that is rightfully hers, which is her daughter.
Yeah, I think it's so important because there are so many thrillers in the past that tend to portray a female antagonist as, oh, she's just some psycho chick, you know,
which
sort of perpetuates stereotypes about women that they're too emotional, they're crazy. You know, do you think that we finally turned a corner in terms of the kind of villains that women can play in Hollywood?
Absolutely. And thankfully, Dion, you know, wanted to tell that story with this woman, you know, to make her multifaceted and real. And in order to be psychotic, you have to understand where that motivation is coming from. And it's like, there are people in this world that are psychotic and there's a reason for it. And if you can understand that, it doesn't make it okay what they did, but it makes you understand what they did. And I think that that's a really important part of a story, especially today with how mature the audiences are. We've seen everything and we don't want the same old thing put in front of us all the time.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. It's totally relatable. And I find it very impressive because in real life, you don't have children, right? Yet you're able to access that deep maternal instinct for a role like that. How do you find your way into the mindset of a mom?
Because she's LeBron James of acting. That's why. Because she's the LBJ of the acting genre. Yeah. Insane.
John, thank you. Can you get a better compliment than that? I mean, come on,
LeBron. Think so.
You know, I just, I think that with any character that I play, there's like, you know, I'm not trans either, yet I can empathize. I can empathize with people and what their experiences are. You know, we're all just trying to give and receive love in some form. It all boils down to that. And if you can relate to what that is, which everyone can, because everyone here on earth is trying to experience that, you can empathize. And so, you know, and I can only imagine if you've created something in your body and given birth to it. And even then, I mean, I've had, you know, relationships and been in relationships for 6 years with men who have had children. So I've kind of mothered in a way and I still feel this intense maternal instinct towards them. And I think that you can never underestimate the bond between a mother and a child. I just don't think there's any bond that is similar to match that. And if you can just get in touch with that, yeah, you know, it's really all it is.
Well, you know, I also enjoyed you as Gail Getty in the FX series Trust. And I kind of think that Trust and Fatal are great to watch alongside each other because we get to see two mothers in very similar desperate situations. But in the midst of those two crises, they sharply diverge in how they go about it.
Right. That's true. Exactly. And that's the thing is that every day we have a choice in how we want to pursue something. We all wake up with a motivation, hopefully, in what we're wanting out of life or what we're doing that day. Mm-hmm. And we all have a choice in how we want to go after it, right? Mm-hmm. We're all a choice away from either something incredible or something probably that's not so right for us.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll return with more when we come back in just a moment. I think that that's one of the most compelling conventions of noir, Dion, because, you know, everyone makes a mistake in life. Probably everyone has broken some law, be it very small, you know, rolling through a stop sign or something very big. There may even be times when we've skirted some ethical boundaries, or maybe those boundaries weren't clear at the time, but we got away with it. And that's what I love about noir, is that it asks, what do you do when you get caught?
Man, that's it. That's the bottom line. What do you do when you get caught? Mm-hmm. And also, like, you know, look, man, if you're a film buff like I am, or you really enjoy films, you also understand that some of these movies, in their early conception, people just don't understand them. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're like, oh, man, this is Hitchcock died with no money and no one understanding his movies. You know what I mean? Like, for real. Yeah.
And never won an Oscar.
Right? And not only did he create some of the greatest movies of all time, you know what I mean? People just couldn't catch on. And I think noir is that genre. I think noir is a gray area where it balances between humanity, right, and realism. And noir is incredible that way, because it deals with real people and real events and real things that could happen. And that's how you get strangers on the train. You know what I mean? Like, those are like real things that people are thinking about, but movies sometimes are too scared to do, you know? So I think this film is so great, man, to pay homage to Hitchcock and, you know, and Lynn and all those guys that kind of did this early on and was like, yo, I'm just making movies because I feel it. I know what it is. And it's real. And sometimes that scares the masses, but this movie to me is like, I'm watching people respond. Before you got on with us, Ben, I was just telling Hillary, I was like, yo, I was at a thing last night watching this film, and I had two NBA athletes get out their car. I was at a drive-in, and 40 minutes in, and be like, yo, this shit? They was like, man, my wife in the car going crazy. And I'm like, I know. And they just loved it, man. And I said, man, this is when you feel really good about cinema, when you do something that is uncomfortable and not normal. So
yeah,
I love noir.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't? Now, you mentioned a minute ago that you're a big fan of 80s and 90s noir. When you're delving into this genre, who are the directors that you draw inspiration from?
That's Hillary Swank right there.
You see me in double.
Obviously, Lynn is exceptional for what he delivered with Fatal Attraction. But you know, Hitchcock, man, everyone that really knows me well, they know I'm a giant Hitchcock fan. The books, everything about him, I just loved what he was doing. I loved how he was thinking. And I love that he was just a factory making films. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Every year. Yeah.
Every year. And that's what I pride myself on. Just go, man. Just make dope movies that speak to people and let everyone else catch up. And those are my two favorites. And then obviously my top is Steven Spielberg. I've never had an opportunity to meet him, but one day I will. But like, I just love him. Like, I like that he was able to make E.T. and The Color Purple. Those two, they don't go together at all.
And Jaws.
And Jaws. Yeah. And it's like, that's how I think. And he just makes cool movies.
In the same year, he made, the Oscar winner Schindler's List and the greatest box office hit of all time, Jurassic Park.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you know him, tell him it's a young black filmmaker that just wants to say hello to him one day.
Okay. Now, Dion, you're pretty prolific yourself. I understand that you have put out pretty much, I think, three movies within almost a year. Is that right?
Last year was pretty exceptional, man. I think I joined the list. I don't have it in front of me. Someone sent me a big congratulations. I think it was James Cameron, might have been Spielberg, and like Tyler Perry, like the only two people, three people to ever put out two feature films worldwide in the same year. So yeah, we released The Intruder 2019 and Black and Blue. And then now if you add Fatale to right now, it's kind of like, yeah, we did three in like 18 months or something. But, that's crazy.
And Dion, but the other thing is you did Fatale before Black and Blue.
That's
and
exactly
so
right.
You really did three. Like, in a year.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Wow. You're right. That's crazy. I don't even think about it like that. We just keep working. Like I'm being right now. I'm getting ready to send Hillary another script in a minute. So that's how I'm working.
And we're already developing another story as well that without me in it, just to produce together.
You two are a factory.
We should talk about that when we have time. They got an amazing project. Her and her husband Philip. Woo! They got a real story, man. People are gonna be blown away by this.
Yeah. And Hillary, it was so great to see you play a modern day take on the classic femme fatale. Are you a fan of those great old noir actresses like Veronica Lake, Stanwyck, Rita Hayworth, those kind of people?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, just to think of like, you know, that's the stuff that they were doing is not easy to do. You know, it's kind of like comedy in a way. Like comedy's hard to do and that type of genre is hard to do. And they're legends, right? And to think like that you have to go that far back to think of something that kind of resonates with this story is so telling that I think have kind of recircled back to something that people love that it's just hard to do. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to find that right script.
Hillary, you got to work with the king of 80s noir, Brian De Palma, on The Black Dahlia. What was he like as a director?
He's great. He's really intense. You know, he's like, he's a visionary. Like he's a great director. Mm-hmm. Like many of the directors I've gotten to work with. I say intense in a good way. You know, he's very focused. He knows what he wants. You know, it's like, I just think of all the directors that I've gotten to work with who like have such experience under their belt. What a blessing for me as an actor to get to learn from them and collaborate with them.
Brian De Palma, is he another one of your favorites, Dion?
100%. Insane. I mean, you know, what's great about these guys, man, is you can really see how incredible they are. And then, you know, one of the things that I'm envious of that I haven't had an opportunity to have yet is a budget. You know what I mean? So
that's right.
You see these guys like, damn man, like I want to play like that. You know, this film was done for $6 million. A lot of people don't know that, Fatale. And shot in 25 days, which is pretty nuts. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
we'll get there. But all these great, you know, directors, man, I love them. I study them. I'm honored to see their work. And I try to take little bits and pieces because you have to remember I'm self-taught. So a lot of what I do as a filmmaker is watch and learn and kind of study what they're doing in order to kind of get my thing going. But man, De Palma is insane. What are you talking about? Are you kidding me?
And I also want to give a shout out to your director of photography, the great Dante Spinotti, whose credits include L.A. Confidential, Heat, The Insider. Is he basically a director's dream?
He's everything to me, man. He changed my life. Changed my life, man. And people say that sometimes. I'm telling you, I'm probably as authentic as it gets. Changed my life. Walked into my life. Was like, man, you're one of the coolest filmmakers I've ever met, and I want to work with you. Actually turned down a $150 million movie to work with me on a $5 million film. Wow. And this is kind of what God does at times, man. But when you talk about De Palma and Spielberg and Dante's name is in that boat, you know what I mean? Like, period. Yeah. So you're talking about someone who made Michael Mann's Manhunter, you know, man, Last of the Mohicans, Heat, Public Enemies. I mean, this is the real, this the real deal. You know what I mean? So his work, I just said this a moment ago, Ben, and I'm telling you about all your listeners this too. If you don't like Fatale, I will challenge you to turn it down and watch it. Because what he does in this movie is not normal. It is incredible. Every frame I mean, you're talking about, there's a scene in a movie where Hillary is talking to Damaris Lewis in a bedroom, a beautiful bedroom that's actually yellow because it's beaming caution. Okay, the light is saying caution. And if you look past Hillary's shoulder, there's a tree in the back that are all the colors of Las Vegas from the scene before. Now, this is when you go, all right, this dude is special, man. Like, it's just, yeah. it's no games. He's the real deal. And we're hoping that this year, man, not only the Academy and others that are out there, I hope they honor Dante because his work in Fatale and being in L.A. and shooting in L.A., by the way, when a time when no one shoots in L.A., is just incredible.
Yeah, and, you know, he's great with this film and with Heat and L.A. Confidential, portraying kind of that duality of Los Angeles, the glitz and glamour, and then the seedy underside. So yes, that really came across in this film. Now, given that we're at such a crucial moment in this country with regard to police violence against blacks, were you very aware of your social responsibility as a filmmaker and perhaps maybe took special care when you waded into these waters?
Yeah, well, obviously, I am an activist, so I'm always aware. Sometimes I'm a little bit too aware at times. I'm like, what's going on? But yeah, these messages that we drop into these stories, they have to be done organically for the culture. There are three ginormous beats that are inside of this film that I don't think everyone will understand, but I know the entire culture will. The first beat is cancel culture. There's a moment that we're living in right now where you can wake up and someone will cancel you, where they're like, oh, he said this or he did that. And everyone in the world is like, oh, yeah, we're done with him. And you're done, period. That's your name. The most valuable thing you have in life is your name, yeah, period. And if someone cancels that or blogs that, you have to fight to get that back. That is a very deep dive inside of Fatale. Michael Ealy's dealing with that. The second thing is the power of the Black mother. I know this scene has become a giant hit with this movie. The Black mother inside of the Black household is the strongest thing we have, because oftentimes the mother is who is raising all of the kids, because we've had so much different things happen with the Black man in the household. So there's a powerful scene in this film where Michael Ealy deals with his mother. And although he's been canceled and life is upside down for him, his mom actually turns him right side up. And that's a very powerful scene. And then overall, I think that, you know, the overarching message for the film, which is really dope, is what's the most powerful thing you have in your life? What is that? Like, what is that thing that you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't trade for, you can't get? It's your name and your reputation. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, this movie explores that and it does a great job of it. But like I said, all those things are like intertwined in this crazy ass great thriller where you're like, oh my God, and you don't notice any of it until you come out the theater. You're like, damn, that was pretty heavy. And that's what I was saying. That's the part of the Hitchcock I was saying. Like, I've seen this happen with my films over the last few years where they went from, man, that was interesting, to, damn, that was really fucking good. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, because the stuff is in there because I live it. That's why.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's also just nice to have a thriller that keeps you on the edge of your seat and offers a little escapism from the heaviness of COVID life these days. Thank you both for that. Fatale will be released in theaters nationwide December 18th. Hillary Swank and Dion Taylor, thanks for talking with me.
Thank you, Ben. It's been great.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Cricket.
Thanks, guys. Thanks again to Hillary Swank and Dion Taylor for coming on the show. Once again, Fatale opens in theaters December 18th. For showtimes and more information, visit fatale.movie.com. If you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and rate and review us while you're there. 5-star ratings and detailed reviews are one of the best ways for new listeners to discover the show. You can also follow us on Facebook or on Twitter at @KickAssNewsPod and recommend us to your friends on your social media. For more fun stuff, visit kickassnews.com. And I welcome your comments, questions, and suggestions at comments@kickassnews.com. For now, I'm Ben Mathis, and thanks for listening to Kick-Ass News.